Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, voters share their thoughts on today's primary runoff election. The Trump administration drops an investigation into Delta Airlines. And as lawmakers return to Atlanta to draw new district lines, Black lawmakers brace for the worst.
So far, all of the states that have redistricted after Calais have redistricted their congressional maps. But Georgia has escalated the fight.
Today is Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia Republicans will end two bitter intraparty fights today as they decide who will face Democratic opponents in races for governor and U.S. Senate. Two Macon voters, Ben and Trish Cumbus, were among Republicans disappointed by the tone of the gubernatorial race between Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones and billionaire Rick Jackson.
It kind of turned me off initially because when everybody started getting into the race, they immediately started trashing people.
You don't know what their positions are.
The Senate race pits two-term Congressman Mike Collins against first-time candidate Derek Dooley. Voters in Columbus, Augusta, and Athens also will settle nonpartisan races for mayor. The candidates running for the Republican nomination for governor made their last pitches to voters yesterday ahead of today's primary runoff elections, GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones is hoping a last-minute endorsement from Governor Brian Kemp will give him a boost.
We think that this is exactly what's going to put us over the top.
Kemp gave Jones his stamp of approval Sunday and campaigned with him on Monday. Meanwhile, his opponent, Rick Jackson, was on the campaign trail with Senator Ted Cruz in Alpharetta, highlighting his credentials as a businessman.
I'm an outsider. I'm going to go in and I'm going to make a change to this system.
Jones won more votes than Jackson in the primary election, but the race was close. Whoever wins the runoff will face Democratic nominee Keisha Lance Bottoms in November. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Many voters focused on high-profile races when casting ballots today. Dustin Peters voted in Metro Atlanta's Cherokee County.
I came out to vote today because it's important. I think there's a lot of issues out there in terms of the future of the state of Georgia in particular. Our Senate race is very important.
Republican primaries could show how much pull Donald Trump has with GOP voters in Georgia. Rachel Schaefer voted in Fulton County. She said she pulled a Democratic ballot.
I feel that there's some people running on the Democratic ballot who have previously been elected as Republicans or have been acting as Republicans, and especially given their actions towards Fulton County's election board, I really want to make sure we protect our right to vote here in Fulton County.
Candace Taylor also voted in Fulton County.
I vote because I care what goes on in my community. I care about the rights of people and within the community.
Tune in to Morning Edition and All Things Considered on GPB Radio tomorrow, as well as this podcast for the latest on primary runoff results. Black lawmakers in Georgia are bracing for the worst as Republicans prepare to gavel in a special session to redraw political maps tomorrow. The effort is the latest after a U.S. Supreme Court decision called Calais weakened protections for Black voters and other minorities under the Voting Rights Act. Democratic and Black U.S. Congressman Sanford Bishop is the most likely congressional target, but Amir Badat of the left-leaning Fair Fight Action says other lawmakers also can expect changes.
Georgia is the first state in this post-Calais chaos to go after state legislative seats. So far, all of the states that have redistricted after Calais have redistricted their congressional maps, but Georgia has escalated the fight.
The group estimates 26 Black majority state House and Senate seats are at risk. So far, GOP leaders have not released proposed maps. Georgia lawmakers will convene for a special session beginning Wednesday. On the agenda are a few key issues with potentially huge consequences for elections. Notably, the redrawing of congressional and state legislative district maps and ballot laws. With me now for a preview of the special session is GPB Politics reporter Sarah Callis. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah, we've seen other states start to redraw voting district boundaries. Which districts in Georgia are most likely to change in ways that have significant consequences for voters?
Well, Middle Georgia is thought to be the most vulnerable to changes right now. I think especially in that Macon area, we're seeing that there could be some possible changes with both state House and state Senate seats, as well as U.S. Congress. Congressional District 2, which is Sanford Bishop's seat, is thought to be the most vulnerable to being flipped to Republican. And also, Georgia's 2021 maps were thrown out because they violated the Voting Rights Act. back in 2023, and they had to redraw the state's maps. And so we saw a lot of changes when that redrawing happened in both Middle Georgia around that Macon area again, and then also up in Gwinnett County in Metro Atlanta. So we could see some changes in some of those districts as well.
The Voting Rights Act, of course, all but gutted by the Supreme Court recently. So you think Georgia lawmakers might take another look at those 2021 maps?
I think they certainly will take some inspiration from those original maps.
What about election ballot laws? Under Senate Bill 189, which passed in 2024, QR codes cannot be used for the official ballot count after July 1st. So what are lawmakers planning to do here?
Well, they have a couple of options. We saw a bill during the regular session that would have essentially just kicked that deadline down the road. That did not get a vote in the Senate before they adjourned sine die. So we could see something similar come back that would just kick that deadline back to next year. So we would just continue to use those QR codes through the elections later this year. They also could try to fund a different solution. The Secretary of State's office says that they're going to need money if they're going to implement a different solution to how we vote. Hand-marked paper ballots have been tossed out by some groups. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said that in the most recent audit of ballots, most errors were actually found in those hand-marked paper ballots. The machine counting was found to be a lot more accurate.
Even if there is enough resources to put a change in place, is there enough time? Can counties adjust to any change the lawmakers make?
Well, they've been told to be ready to adjust to a change. The big fighting that I've seen has come down to funding. They're saying that if they're going to make a change, they need to have the money to make that change, and they need to have the right equipment.
With respect to those two things we just spoke about, changing voting district boundaries and ballot laws, are Republicans expected to get what they want here, given that they are the majority in the state legislature?
That's the expectation. The Republicans have a majority in both chambers, and so any fight that the Democrats put up is likely to not work out too well for them. The Republicans are likely to get their maps that they drew. Now, where we could see some infighting with Republicans are if someone becomes vulnerable, if their district is redistricted to have more Democrats in that area. And then we also could see that Republicans are not a monolith, especially when it comes to this voting legislation. We've seen some push really hard for the hand-marked paper ballots and some maybe not be so sure.
And finally, lawmakers are considering questions surrounding local property tax. What's up for debate there?
So this would be in a relation to a law that passed this past regular session. And so basically lawmakers have to approve any local property tax measure that comes through. And so counties will have the option to put a referendum on their ballot that would essentially say we're going to raise sales tax for 1% and we're going to use that money to reduce your property tax. And the legislature has to go through and manually approve every county that says they want to do that. And so we could see some of those counties come up during the special session and that referendum be on their ballots in November.
All right, GPB Sarah Callis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A federal judge has recused herself in a fight over Georgia election records after the U.S. Department of Justice raised questions about her ability to be impartial. The DOJ sought to remove U.S. District Judge Eleanor Ross from the case. The department cited her reported attendance at an event for Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, who prosecuted President Donald Trump. Ross today filed an order recusing herself, writing that she was doing so, quote, out of an abundance of caution for the potential perception of bias. The judge was disciplined after an investigation found that she had sex with a police officer in her chambers, attended the partisan event, and then lied when confronted with the allegations. The Trump administration is dropping an investigation into Atlanta-based Delta Airlines over its response to a computer meltdown that stranded travelers and cost the carrier $500 million. GPB's Chase McGee reports.
The 2024 CrowdStrike outage affected IT systems worldwide, but Atlanta-based Delta was crippled much longer than other airlines. Then-Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg announced a probe into long waits for help and reports that unaccompanied minors were stranded at airports. A U.S. Department of Transportation spokesman says that investigation is now closed without penalties. The agency determined that Delta passengers received prompt refunds and adequate help with baggage and other concerns. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Two aging nuclear reactors in southeast Georgia have been cleared to operate until the 2050s. The reactors at Plant Hatch near Baxley came online in 1975 and 1979. Georgia Power said yesterday that the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has extended their licenses until 2054 and 2058. The federal renewal was based in part on safety and environmental reviews. Plant Hatch and another nuclear plant near Augusta together produced about 30% of Georgia Power's energy last year. A cluster of storms along the Gulf Coast of Texas could become the first tropical storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the storm system is expected to bring intense rain to southern states, including Texas and Louisiana. Some forecast models show the system heading into Georgia later this week. The National Weather Service office in Peachtree City says it is too early to determine wind or severe impacts from the storm. But the office is predicting heavy rains and a flash flood risk for north and central Georgia on Thursday and Friday. In Georgia sports, the Georgia Bulldogs face elimination in the College World Series tonight. Georgia fell to Oklahoma 4-3 last night as UGA makes a historic run in the series. Monday's loss in Omaha was the team's first loss in 10 games. They won 20 of their previous 21 games, but now move to the loser's bracket. They'll face Texas in a rematch at 8 p.m. The NCAA says last night's game featuring Georgia senior shortstop Colby Branch and Oklahoma sophomore second baseman Kyle Branch was the first time that two brothers played against each other in the same game in the College World Series. That's it on this edition of Georgia Today. Tune in tomorrow for the latest on the election runoff results and check gpb.org/news for updates on that and on updates to any of the stories you heard on the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast too. It's a great way to stay updated on all things Georgia news. And if you've got feedback, send it to us by email. That's the best way to reach us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.